Okay, so for the uninitiated, the presidential Bekiyas program is the official night serving Bekiyas program of the yeshiva. We cover about 20 blat a semester. I give out weekly Mar Makom sheets that are usually available on the Bima sometime towards the beginning of the week, which usually include Mar Makom for that week's Chabura plus another Shir. And then we also get a list of Tosafim that will be on the Bechin at the end of the semester. At the end of each semester, there's a Bechin on 20 blad, either Gemara Rashi, Tosos, and people who do well are entitled to gift certificate money for the Sfar himself. Okay, well, this Chabur will generally meet on Monday evening is 9:25, and we'll finish by Maariv when Maariv is at 10. We'll try to finish by 10 tonight also, so you can have a Musar Seder when Maariv is at 10:15. So that will be generally on Monday nights. We'll try to take a sugya from the blat that we're learning and develop it a little bit.
A blat a week?
It's about a blat and a third a week. There are 15 weeks in a semester, and there's 20 blat a semester. So a blat and a quarter blat and a third. We're actually covering another one if you want, if you didn't get this. We're actually covering 22 blat a semester, so let's call it a blat and a third a week. Okay. So the Mishnayos in the beginning of Parak Kol Kisvei outline that under most situations it is prohibited to save items from a fire, with the notable exceptions that are mentioned in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells you at the beginning of the Parak that Kol Kisvei HaKodesh Batzilin Osamamnei Hatleika, that you're allowed to save, preserve Kisvei Kodesh from a fire. And then the Mishnah tells you on Daf Kuf Yedzayin Amabez that Matzilin Mazon Gimel Seudos, you're allowed to save food for your Shabbos consumption from a fire. And then the Mishnah tells you on Daf Kuf Kuf that you're also allowed to save clothing from a fire in Shabbos, but anything else would be prohibited to save. So it's interesting to note that Rashi writes here on the Mishnah, Matzilin Osan, Daf Kuf Tesvav Amid Aleph, Rashi writes, Kidiksani lekaman lemavish eina mefulish. You're allowed to save kisvei kodesh and bring them into a mavoi she'eino mefulish, a dead end mavoi. V'tircha ba'almahu d'shariba v'chisaron erev. And what is it that we're permitting? We're permitting that which seemingly otherwise would be prohibited because of tircha, because of exerting too much effort on Shabbos, and also we're being somewhat more makel as to the standards of what Erev is required in order to carry something into a chaser, into a mavi. So Rashi emphasizes here the issue of tircha ba'alma, that presumably Rashi seems to be saying that there should have been a prohibition based on tircha, based on exerting strenuous effort, and in these situations we allow you to save from the fire even though you're exerting this tircha. So the notion of, and you have this in some other Rishonim as well, the Tosas Rid, for example, here in the Sugya, writes, Aval b'Shabbos lo tarchina lo atzuli, and Shabbos you're not allowed to be toreach in order to be matzal, kevin de lanit and lichtov. So when it comes to the kisvei kodesh that are discussed in our Mishnah, are you allowed to be matzal? When it comes to lower level kisavim, if it's not Torah Shabbafav, then it's clear from the Gemara that you're not allowed to save, and that's because you're engaging in tircha. And the Meiri has a lashon like this as well. The Meiri writes, "Me'acher she'ein kan ela chisaron erev v'tircha ba'alma hikilu ba lahatzalas kisvei hakodesh." So because we're only dealing with the tircha problem, that's why we are makel to allow you to save kisvei hakodesh. So what's the nature of this tircha? You don't find tircha so much in the context of Malachas Shabbos. You find it more by yontiv, that tircha sometimes is a barometer for determining what's permissible activity on yontiv or sometimes on Chol HaMoed. So for example, you have in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Kaches Amid Beis, the Mishnah tells you that Ein Lo Yalden Esa Behema B'Yantiv, you're not allowed to assist an animal in giving birth on yontiv. And Rashi writes over there, Kuf Kaches Amid Beis, Rashi writes, Ein Lo Yalden Esa Behema B'Yantiv, because there is an extreme level of tircha, and that's why we prohibited aiding an animal in giving birth on yantiv. The Rashba there writes a different reason. The Rashba has a lashon of mishum chilol daraisa. Sounds like there's some kind of malacha daraisa going on, unclear exactly what. But Rashi says this is a tircha issue. You have this also in the context of kvura on yantiv, that under certain circumstances it's permitted to bury someone on yantiv, yantivishi, yantiv sheni, either through non-Jews or through Jews. And there, the notion of tircha is raised as well in Rishonim in terms of determining what kind of activity would be permissible to allow for kvura on yantiv. You don't have that so much in the context of Melachas Shabbos. You have, for example, the Chidushei Haran in the beginning of Perek Mefanim. So the Mishnah on Kufkov Vavam Beis writes, Mefanin afilu arba v'chamesh kupov shel tevin v'shel tvua b'mnei orchim. So it should have been the case that you're not allowed to move these units, these boxes of straw, because they're muksa, but if it is tzarech lemkomo, if you need the space in order to accommodate guests, then you're allowed to move these units of straw. So Chidush Iran writes over there that what's the nature of this heter? Aval im hutzarech lemkomo litzarech atzmo, if you need to use the space that is taken up by these units of straw, of wheat, then it's mutter, but otherwise it's aser because have tircha yisera umechsi ku'uv din dechol. Otherwise it's aser because it's too much tircha, and it looks like uv din dechol. That's probably what you would assume tircha to mean. Why is something that involves tircha prohibited on Shabbos something that involves extending too much effort? Because that looks like a weekday activity. Mechsi ku'uv din dechol. That's what the Meiri writes as well, and Daf Kuf Kuf Amid Aleph, where the Meiri writes that the reason you're not allowed to be motzi kalim bundled up in a talis is because it's torach v'derachol. Again, the same idea that there's tircha involved, and tircha is a problem of uvnid d'chol, of a weekday activity. So we have that in the context of muksa, that moving a muksa object, unless there's a tremendous need where it involves some kind of tircha, is prohibited because of uvdin dechol. And even though maybe you should have been more inclined to be makel to move something that's muksa because of tzarech makomo, we're going to be machmer not allow you to do it where it involves tircha unless there's some great need to allow it. Okay, so that's where we have some cases of tircha in Mesechta Shabbos. But presumably tircha has to do with uvdin dechol, but it's not something that comes up so much in the Mesechta. The bigger issue here in understanding Rashi is that Rashi seems to be explaining something in contradiction or differently than what the Gemara seems to say explicitly later on in the parak. The Mishnah tells us on Daf Kufi Zayin Amaveis, Masilin Mazon Gimel Seudos. You're allowed to save 3 meals worth of food on Shabbos if there is a fire. So the Gemara there asks, Michti Behetera Katarach. Since we permit you to move this food, and you have license to do it anyway, not zil tvei, so why do we limit your ability to save food to the amount of food that will be consumed in 3 meals? Why don't we allow you to save larger quantities of food? So my answer is, Amar Rava, mitoch she'adam bahol al mamono, because a person is very unsettled, ill at ease, at the potential loss of money, of property. So there's a fire that's consuming his property, and he is tarred, he's bahol, he's distracted. If we would allow you to save more than the bare minimum, then you're going to come. We're concerned you may come to extinguish the fire.
First osos,
right. So the Gemara here seems to say that the reason that you're not allowed to save more than Kisvei Kodesh, more than Gimel Seudos, more than a limited quantity of Begadim, is because we're concerned you may come to extinguish the fire. And as you correctly pointed out, that's what Tosa says in the beginning of the Masechta, beginning of the Parak, sorry. Kol Kisvei Kodesh Matzilin Ostan Mipnei Hadaleika. Amar Rabbeinu Tam, De Kula Hai Pirka, Ayri Kishenafla Daleika Ba'osa Ba'is Abosa Chasa. The whole discussion of the Mishnayos in our Parak is where you have a fire in your own courtyard, in your own house. Since your house, your chaser, is being burnt down, so you are bahol. And if we allow you to be matzil more than the bare minimum, we're concerned that you may come to extinguish the fire. And then Rabbeinu Tam is a chiddush. If that's the reason, aval nafla deleika b'bayis acher, but if the fire is in someone else's house, so you're not as bahul because it's not your house, it's someone else's house, so then mutar lahatzil hakol, you can go into that other person's house and be matzil his entire property. So Tosos is telling you right here at the beginning of the parak what the Gemara tells you later on in Kuf Yuzayin and Mebeis, that the reason for the prohibition of saving more than the bare minimum is because we're concerned of asi lachbuya, you may come to extinguish the fire, and that's why we prohibit these types of hasalas. Then the Rabbeinu Tam is chiddush that therefore you're allowed to save someone else's property, and the Ramban argues on the Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramban says mehechatesi lashin l'Ramban. Is Zusvara below Raya? That there's no Raya for Shita Surveyed Tam, that we're not necessarily concerned just because it's someone else's Chatzer, below Asi Lichbuye. The Ran, and Daf Membez, and Membez Vidafi Harif. The Ran quotes a Sefer Hatruma. And it's clear in some of the other Rishonim, but you see in the Ran as well, that the Sefer Truma is an extension of the Rabbeinu Tam. So if you take a look, if you want to see it inside, it's the Ran Adaf Membez on Membez Bedape Harif, in the middle of Dibra Maskil Vahadar Minan, where the Ran writes, quoting the Baal HaTruma, the Sefer HaTruma, the Dafka Lechatzer Umavoy She'enan Mekurin Usmuchin L'Shus HaRabim Hu She'ema Silin. The restrictions against what you're allowed to save is only relevant if you're going to be taking them to a chatzer or a mavoi that isn't fully enclosed and that is near a reshus harabim. Mishum da'asi lechlufe b'reshus harabim. Because if we allow you to carry into a chatzer or a mavoi that is proximate to reshus harabim or that is not fully enclosed, then we're concerned you may actually come to carry it out into Rosh Hashanah itself. Aval, im haya beis chaver samach beiso. But if the next house is right next to your house, the irvu koma debay of the irvu, and then you have an eruv that allows you to carry from one house to the next house, so then koma debay matzel. Then you're allowed to save anything. So the Sefer Truma says this is an extension of Rabbeinu Tam. That where is it that we allow you to save someone else's property? That's only if you're going to be saving it into a adjacent property that's joined by an eruv. But if you're going to save it to a property or to a chatzer which is proximate to Rosh Hashanah, so that you're not allowed to do, even if it's not your own property, because we're concerned that you may come to carry in a Rosh Hashanah. And this is quoted in the Hagos Maimini as well, Perikov Gimel of Hilchah Shabbos Os Mem, where he quotes this Sefer Truma is extrapolating on Rabbeinu Tam, and he says it only applies for a chaser and mavi shesmuchim l'shesarabim. That's where it's prohibited to carry it out. But if it's to your adjacent house, then it would be permissible. And the impression you get from the Ran citation of the Sefer Truma, from the Gos Maimonides citation of the Sefer Truma, is that the primary concern as to why it is generally prohibited to carry, to remove more than the articulated minimum, is because we're concerned that you may come to carry it out into a Rosh Hashanah. That sounds also like it's different than the Gemara's concern of Asi Lach Buye. Truth is, if you look at the Gemara, let's go back to Kuf Yizayin Mebeis. So the Gemara, after it quotes the concern of Asi Lachbuye, then Amar Le Abaye, Elohad Detanya Nishbar Lachavis Parash Gago Mevi Kliyamaniach Tachtaha. So if you have a barrel of wine that's on the top of your roof, you're allowed to bring a kli and put it underneath the barrel of wine such that it will catch the falling wine. As long as you don't bring another kli next to the gag that's going to collect the drippings up there. So there you do have a concern. It's not exactly the same case, but you do have a concern of Shema Yavi Kli Derech Rishis HaRabim. But the Sefer Truma, the way it's quoted by the Lady Rishonim, seems to be saying that this concern of Asi Lahosi Lashis HaRabim is relevant to the Iker Isser of removing something Mipnei Hadaleika. So the Ramban, when he quotes the Sefer Truma, asks on the Sefer Truma, why should that be? That if the whole concern of the Isser of saving is because of Asi Lachbuyeh, then what difference does it make if you're going to save into a chutz, you're going to save into a house? We're equally concerned of Asi Lachbuyeh, whether or not you're saving to something that's approximate to the Rishos HaRabim. The Lashon Ramban is, V'karav hu Lachbuyeh ba'ayaros, She'ein Rishis HaRabim, Kamo Rishis HaRabim Gemur. There's no more reason to assume that a person is going to be inclined to extinguish the fire if you're in a Rishis HaRabim than if you're in a tiny village that doesn't have Rishis HaRabim. If the concern is Asi Lachbuyeh, then there's no distinction between being next to Rishis HaRabim and being far away from Rishis HaRabim. That's the Ramban's kasha, but the Ramban is clearly assuming, the Pashup Shalom the Gemara, that the concern is Asi Lachbuyeh, and these other Rishonim seem to be assuming that it's not just a matter of Asi Lachbuyeh, but the concern, the primary concern, is Rishus HaRabim. So that seems to be a machlokus here between the Sefer Truma and the Ramban. So the Bach tries to answer up for the Sefer Truma, and the Bach writes that the Sefer Truma assumes that really you have components of both concerns of Asi Lachbuyeh and of Rishus HaRabim. That the Iker Gzeira of not being allowed to save Gimel Su'udos is because of a concern of Shema Yosi L'Shis HaRabim. Starting point is, if we allow you to take more than Gimel Su'udos, even if we're allowing you to take it into a Chatzer, we're concerned that you may go the next step and carry it out into L'Shis HaRabim. But once we're concerned about that, so then we're also concerned about the fact that you may forget that it's Shabbos b'chlal. If we're going to allow you to carry things out, so you may forget that it's Shabbos. If you forget that it's Shabbos, you may come to Asi Lachbuyeh as well. So if you're only carrying into an enclosed area, so then we're less concerned that you're going to forget that it's Shabbos, because we're not really allowing you to do anything that you wouldn't ordinarily be doing on Shabbos. And then, if you're not concerned about Shema Yosi L'Shis HaRabim, then you're not independently concerned about Asi Lachbuyeh. How exactly you fit on the Gemara, I'm not 100% sure. But that's what the Bach says to justify the Sefer Truma, that the primary concern is one of Asi Lahosi L'Shis HaRabim, and Asi Lachbuyeh is secondary. That's the Bach's suggestion for the Sefer Truma. There's an interesting position of the Isser V'Heter, which is even more extreme. The Isser V'Heter is a sefer primarily late Bishon on Yoredeya matters, on Tarovis Basar B'Chalov. But at the very end of the Isser V'Heter, he has a few simanim on other sort of topics. One of them is Pikuach Nefesh and related issues about Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. So in that simon, on Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, the Isser V'Heter writes as follows. V'ata b'zman hazeh, nowadays, she'ein lanu rishis harabim gemura, that in late medieval Europe there were very few towns, or no towns, that really would consider rishis harabim the rice, assuming that you need shishim riba to consider rishis harabim, so you didn't have populations anywhere near that in late medieval Europe. So nowadays we live in a society where there's really no rishis harabim. Ela Carmelis, the only thing we have is a Carmelis. The gam leka lemigzar atu d'araisa, and therefore there's no grounds for a legitimate concern of Shema Yosi L'Shis HaRabim because there is no L'Shis HaRabim. Im nafla lo d'leka b'beisa b'Shabbos, if you have a fire in your house on Shabbos, yachol lahatzil kol davar. You're allowed to save anything. There are no restrictions on what you're allowed to save. Shelo yavu l'chabos. And why do we allow you to save anything? Because we don't want you to extinguish a fire. Nimnesha Adam Ba'olam Amono. Sounds like the exact opposite of the Gemara. Yisrael has been saying that the only thing we should have been concerned about is Shema Yosef Rishis Arab. Now this is no Rishis Arabim. So you're allowed to save anything, because if we don't allow you to save everything, then we're concerned you may come to extinguish the fire. The Gemara said you're not allowed to save everything, because if you save everything, if we allow you, then because you're Bahul, you're going to be Mechaba. And the Yisrael has been saying that we dafka tell you to save everything, because if we don't allow you to save everything, then you're going to be Mechaba. So it's clear that the Yisrael Hezer is assuming the primary concern is one of Shema Yosi Lishas Arab, not one of Asi Lech Buyeh. But he goes so far as to say, to draw the opposite conclusion of the Gemara, that where there's no concern of Shema Yosi Lishas Arab, you're allowed to extinguish Dafka because that's going to prevent you from being Mechaba. So the Chai Adam in his Nishmas Adam, Simen Mem Vav, writes that it must be that the Yisrael Hezer had a faulty girsa in the Sefer Truma, never really saw the Sefer Truma, because it's inconceivable that you could have constructed such a position. Meaning, the Yisrael Hezer seems to be basing his position on the Sefer Truma, taking it a step further. But the Nishmas Adam, the Chai Adam writes that had the Yisrael Hezer actually seen the Sefer Truma inside, he would never have drawn such a conclusion. But it is noteworthy that whether or not the Yisrael Hezer had the Sefer Truma, the Yisrael Hezer is quoted Lahalacha by Rabbi Gevager in Shulchan Aruch in the end of Siman Shin Lamed Aleph. So Gevager quotes this from the Eliyahu Rabbah. The Eliyahu Rabbah doesn't quite say it exactly the way the Yisrael Hezer does, but then he quotes the Yisrael Hezer as saying that B'sman Hazeh, where there's no Rishas Arabim, you're allowed to save anything without restriction. And Rabbi Gevager is clearly saying this Lahalacha. So one Hezer that I saw, the Beis Meir tries to deal with this, based Meir and Siman Shin Mem Dalet Shulchan Aruch, and he suggests that the Yisrael Hezer was working with the following assumption. In the sheet that I gave out this week, I had a little bit about Malacha Shein Esrichel Gufa and Mechaba. I mean, the problem that the Rishonim deal with is that one should have said that if you're extinguishing a fire for the purpose of saving your property, that's a malacha shein esrichel gufa, right? However you understand malacha shein esrichel gufa, be it like Rashi, be it like the Ri and the Bali Tosos, in the Gemara in Sadi Gimel Mivet Sadi Dalet, that if you do a malacha, the classic case in the Mishnah is that you're motzi mita with the meis on the mita, so you're not chayiv, according to Reb Shimon, you're not chayiv for hotzas meis, because that's a malacha shein esrichel gufa. Reb Yehuda holds that a malacha shein esrichel gufa if Shimon holds your potter. What's a malacha shein esrichel gufa? So Rashi there writes, Sadi Gimel Amud Beis, that a malacha shein esrichel gufa is a malacha that you do l'salka me'elav, a malacha that you do for preventative purposes. You're not interested in moving the mace from point A to point B per se. You couldn't care less if the mace makes it to point B. But your concern is that you don't want the mace in your house. So according to Rashi, when you do a malacha for a preventative purpose, that's considered to be a malacha shein esrichel gufa. A note El Sipra Naim, if you cut your nails on Shabbos, so you're not interested in the nail clippings, you're interested in having a smooth nail. So that's a Malacha Shein Esrichel Guf. According to the Ri and the Bali Tosos, the reason that's a Malacha Shein Esrichel Guf is because it doesn't parallel the way the Malacha was done in the Mishkan. But be that as it may, however you understand Malacha Shein Esrichel Gufa, if you're mechabe a deleika because you want to save your property, not because you're interested in the kibbutz, you're interested in the bechamim, you're interested in using the ashes, so that should be a classic case of malacha shein esrichel gufa. And most Rishonim, aside from the Rambam Paskin, like Rav Shimon, that malacha shein esrichel gufa is pater. So if that's the case, why do we have this prohibition of masila and mebnei hadleika? Okay, so you can look at that marmakom sheet. I have some source material on that. But what the Beis Meir suggests is that maybe our Gemara that says Asi Lechabuye is working with the assumption that Malacha Shein Esrichel Gufa is Chayiv. If we hold like Rabbi Yehuda that Malacha Shein Esrichel Gufa is Chayiv, so then Kiboy even B'nei Deleika would be Aser, it would be a Malacha D'Oraisa, and therefore where it goes there, atu, you may come to violate the Melacha Deraisa of Kibun. But if you hold like Rav Shimon, the Melacha Sheinu Tzricha L'guf is Pater. So what do you mean? You're going to make a Gzeira lest you come to be Mechabe? But the Kibun itself is only an Issa D'Rabban. That would be a Gzeira L'Gzeira. So according to Rav Shimon, there has to be a different reason, and that's Shema Yossi L'Shesha Rabim. And Shema Yossi L'Shesha Rabim is irrelevant if there's no L'Shesha Rabim within 3,000 miles. That's the base Meir's Yishuv for the Issa V'Heter. Okay, you can take it or leave it. But what does seem to emerge, bottom line, is that within the Rishonim there are clearly contrary indications as to how much stock you put into Asi L'Chbuyeh, or whether the notion of Shema Yossi L'Shesha Rabim also plays a primary role. Okay, so now let's go back to... Yeah.
What is the Malacha Shein Esrich L'Gufa that the base mayor says the Yisra B'Hetzer considered Chayiv? What does he hold?
No, see, he's saying that Reb Shimon holds that a Malacha Shein Esrich L'Gufa is Pater. So in our case, if you extinguish a fire, not because you want to use the ashes that are going to be created by extinguishing the fire, that would be the real malacha, but because you just want to save your property, that's a malacha chain of gufa. And if that's a malacha chain of gufa, which your paterans, it doesn't make sense to make a gzeira lest you come to be mechaba, because even if you are mechaba, it's only an isid rabbana. Okay? Good. So let's come back to the Rashi that we started with about Tircha. So I think you have to say, on some level, that Rashi isn't giving you a totally new reason in contradiction to the Gemara, but Rashi's telling you it's true that it's aser lehatzil yoser from what the Mishnah allows, because let's say vasi lachbuyeh, but the nature of that which is prohibited is something which involves a tircha, meaning, in general, when it comes to tiltil muksa and malachas Shabbos, we say that there would have been grounds to prohibit a tircha yaseira because of uvdin d'chol, because it's like a weekday activity. However, there are certain circumstances where there's a hefsin involved, we allow you to violate something that involves a tircha. Like we saw, for example, that chidushei ran by mefanin. In general, you're not allowed to move big units of tfua, but if you need to accommodate guests, so there we allow you to engage in something that involves tircha that otherwise would be uvdin d'chol, because there's a counterbalancing value. There's some extenuating circumstances, a makom hefsed or makom tzarech gadol. So we would have said that here there's a hefsed mamon, there's a tzarech gadol, and therefore we allow you to be tareach. Comes the Gemara and explains, no, we don't do that because of asi lachbuyeh, because we're concerned that you may come to extinguish the fire. And what Rashi's telling you is the situations where we do allow you to be matzil, those are situations where the only thing that you're potentially violating is tircha. So sometimes we allow you to violate a tircha, and other times we go back to the what would have been the Ikar Adin, our starting assumption, that we don't allow you to violate a tircha where there's some other consideration like asi lachbuyeh. So that's how, in the Sefer Mereshes Moshe, he explains it that way, in Simon Kuf Samach. And then the Mereshes Moshe points out that you get this impression, or it's at least possible, that if you have a situation of Hatzalah that doesn't involve any Tircha, then maybe that would be permissible even beyond the allowances of the Mishnah. So he points out, Tosas Rid sounds like that. Tosas Rid on the Kufi Zayinim and Aleph writes, Aval HaSefer, they were talking about Matzilin HaTik Im HaSefer. That where you're allowed to move Sefer Kodesh, Kisvei Kodesh, you can also save the cover that's covering the Kisvei Kodesh. So the Tosafot that Rid writes, HaSefer Nasa Basis Latik. So there, the Sefer is the primary object, and the tik, the cover of the bag, is secondary. Shehu Mutzer B'Tiltel. So the Sefer, you're allowed to carry Matzil and Kisvei Kodesh. Shrei Metaltel and Tik Levado. and then you're allowed to carry the cover as well. The Torah's kli yesh alav, the ein kan elo tiltel, and that's only tiltel. You're only carrying it, so not a heavy object. The tircha ba'alma. So carrying under normal circumstances the tikkun of av tircha. The cave under lo tarach tircha yesera. But if there's no extra tircha involved, el ag of the masil asefer masil tiko imo shari. So you wouldn't be allowed to carry out a tik on its own because that involves some tircha. But if you're already carrying out the sefer, you have to carry the sefer anyway. The tik is just covering the sefer, so there's no added tircha in carrying the tik. So that would be permissible. So the Mereshes Moshe says that sounds like you could have a situation where if there's no added tircha, so then there's no iser hatsala nipnei hadaleka. Then he points out that if tircha is a value, so then you understand more the shita that argues on the Rabbeinu Tam and argues on the Sefer Truma, that everyone is prohibited from carrying, not only the owner of the property, but anyone else as well. As if it's a matter of tircha, meaning the cheshbon is that really you're not allowed to carry anything that involves a tircha unless there's some extenuating circumstance. And we only allow you to carry that which involves a tircha for these limited cases of the Mishnah, because otherwise we're concerned of asilach buye. But bottom line, tircha is relevant across the board. So even if there's no asilach buye per se, maybe we would still prohibit tircha. That's his suggestion. So bottom line, just to wrap up, you see Rashi invoking this notion of tircha. It's not necessarily the case that Rashi is contradicting the Gemara later on of Asilach Buya, which itself may be subject to Machlokas Rishonim, as we discussed, whether Asilach Buya is the primary concern, or Shema Yotzi L'Shus HaRabim. But however you deal with that Machlokas between the Sefer Truma and the Ramban, and the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban, it seems that one could reasonably argue that some of Rashi's notion of Tircha has to fit into the existing Asilach Buya, in a way that just explains the nature of the Gzeira, and that which we are prohibiting you from being Matzil.